You know, folks, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world, and I believe that to be true, as well as I believe that you believe that as well. But the one that leads the family is the father. The Bible tells us that, like in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." He says in verse number 4, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." For the next few moments, I want you to think about the importance of fathers, not only in our congregations, but also in our homes and in our country, in our world. Well, folks, they're so important, and we love them so very much. But the Bible has much to say concerning this wonderful, this dutiful, this important position in life. Oh, let me tell you, give us more godly fathers in our world today, and the church will be stronger, our homes will be stronger, our country will be stronger. Folks, the world will be stronger. Why? Because fathers, they're the ones that lead the home. Now, that has not always been true, because when we see that in a Christian home, a father is the one that is leading that home in the Lord, that's not always been true. And even in Scripture, there are records of those that have not led in such a fashion to bring about this godly and goodly position. For example, when you think of David pampering Absalom, oh, that brought a lot of difficulty on him and his household. We see that, it had a bad turnout for him. Even when we think about Eli failing to discipline his sons, and they disgraced the family and even the family name, hurt the cause of God when Eli faltered in that particular thing. Jacob, remember his favoritism in the home? 12 sons, and yet of those 12 sons, the one that he favored the most, Joseph, and it divided that home, even to the point that his brothers wanted to kill him and tried to do it. Well, nonetheless, we see that there have been some that have not risen to the task, and yet there are some that certainly have. For example, when you think about Job, he rose early in the morning to sacrifice for his children, lest by some means that they had cursed God. He wanted to perform that patriarchal duty for his children, and he took that seriously. The text says he did it continually. Even when we go to the example of Jonadab, there the leader, the originator of the Rechabites. Read there in 2 Kings chapter 10, Jeremiah chapter 35. Even to the point, this one man, he said, "I will not consume alcoholic beverages because it will impair my cognitive abilities." And it created an entire people that refused to be influenced by the drink. Especially his children, he taught them and they obeyed and obeyed well. What about the home that Jesus grew up in? Joseph, what a powerful example that he provided. He was a man of, no doubt, a prayerful and penitent life, patient in his raising. And we see because of his fidelity, his faithfulness, and even his formation. Wasn't Jesus blessed to grow up in a home such as that? What person would not want to grow up in a home like Jesus grew up in? Well, certainly we see that the father is certainly the leader in the home. And he does it in the context of Ephesians chapter 6, 1 through 4, because in the beginning, verse number 1, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Notice the little phrase, "in the Lord." He begins that section of Scripture with the phrase, "in the Lord." He ends that section in verse number 4, "Bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." He uses his bookends to say everything in the home should be in the context of the Lord's blessings. Now, what can we learn from this most important verse that we find here in verse number 4 of chapter 6? Read it again with me. "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." The phrase there, the prepositional phrase, "of the Lord," means bring them up according to the Lord. Make sure that the Lord saturates, infuses, assimilates every aspect of the family. And when that happens, that will be a family will be greatly blessed. They'll have direction and trajectory. They'll be headed toward heaven because that will be their focus. It's my prayer today that that's your focus in the home in every aspect. If it's not, let's learn some things from this verse. First of all, I want you to notice that there should be no provoking in the home. That is, provoking to anger. You know, this phrase here is very important because sometimes a father, a parent might act or conduct themselves in a manner that would provoke, incite this anger in a child or a family member. Well, what about when you say one thing and do another, or always blaming and never praising, or inconsistent and unfair in discipline? Those things that are, well, they'll provoke and they'll bring about a sense of anger. And what about showing favoritism in the home? Valuing one over another, or even making promises and not keep them. Making light of promises are problems that are important to me or to you, but making light of those, well, that certainly does not create clarity. It creates chaos. It will not engender trust. It will bring about trouble. It will not bring instruction. It will bring anger. And Paul warns concerning this. Folks, don't we want our homes to be a haven of love, peace, and harmony? My, yes, every one of us do. So therefore, Paul warns, don't take the emotional posture of inciting or exasperating the family members. Fathers, Paul would say in Colossians 3 and verse number 21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. I was conducting a family seminar in Tennessee 3 or 4 years ago. And in that seminar on Sunday morning, we had two lessons. And I told in one of those lessons about how at the church office here at the building here, that several years ago, I told when Gene Rylett was the secretary, I said, there'll be times when people will come and need to talk to me. You know, sometimes people can't talk to anybody else but their preacher. And there'll be times when they'll come to need to talk to me. And, you know, if somebody calls or somebody comes or somebody needs me, don't interrupt me. But I said, there are some that can get to me at any time for any reason. And if my wife or either of my children call and need me, it doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter whom I'm with. It doesn't matter what's happening. They have complete access to me immediately. She said, okay. Well, I was telling that up in Tennessee, and we got through with the morning session, and Paulie and I were walking over to the fellowship hall where we're going to have lunch, and there was a little teenage girl came up to me, and she said, preacher, did you really mean that? I said, well, yeah, I really mean that. Really meant that. She said, would you be my daddy? Well, I kind of, like you, I kind of chuckled, you know, and kind of laughed until I realized she was serious. I mean, folks, she was dead serious. And I thought of, kind of ran through my mind all the needs possibly that she had that were going unfulfilled. Fathers, don't take the posture that the family is something to play with or just poke at or that kind of thing. Folks, listen, family is important and our children must be our priority. Is that right? Amen. There's a second thing that we find here. Notice in this verse, he says that do nurture in the home. Now, the little phrase there in Ephesians 6 verse 4 is bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. The little phrase, bring them up, is a verb that is important. It means to nourish. In fact, when you go back to chapter 5 and verse number 29, there Paul is talking about the husband-wife relationship. And he says, husbands, you need to nourish and cherish your wife. What if you went to the doctor and the doctor told you about your child? Your child is malnourished. We'll take that from a physical standpoint to a spiritual. What if you discovered, or what if it came up that you were malnourished spiritually? You're not being fed what you need. And folks, in a home, that can truly happen. Christian fathers nourish, they must nourish the wife, that is, as a husband, they must nourish the wife, and as a father, they must nourish the children to give them the encouragement they need in the Lord. Folks, it's not enough to nurture the children physically by providing food, shelter, and clothing. And that is important. The fathers must nurture children emotionally and spiritually. I think the example, and go in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, if you will. Luke 2 and verse number 52. Here is one example of, I believe, a positive example. Remember this time when Jesus at age 12 went with his parents to the temple? And after all of the things went on in the temple, they head back to Nazareth. They're going back to Nazareth, and that's where they're going to live. So between age 12 and age 30, Jesus, he grew up in Nazareth, and we don't have anything spoken concerning him in Scripture except except this verse. This is all we have concerning Jesus between age 12 and age 30. We'll notice what it says here. Luke 2, verse 52. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and favor with man. Well, now, folks, that tells us a lot about how Jesus developed. And if we want to grow like Jesus, we can emulate him. And I can take a note as a father that that is the way that I should raise my children, my grandchildren, because I want them to grow in a balanced way. I want them, according to this verse, Jesus increased in wisdom. I want them to have a good head on their shoulders, to learn the things that are necessary to live in our world today. But also it says to grow in stature. I want them to be strong physically, to be healthy, and to have the necessary things to promote good health. But most important, it says, he grew in favor with God. If I lose my child for heaven, nothing I have ever done in life will matter. Nothing else will matter. Spiritually, but then also, what about socially? Jesus grew in favor with God and in favor with man. That is, out in community. Folks, don't we want to have a good reputation in our community among the folks that we rub shoulders day in and day out, where they will say, that is one of the finest individuals I have ever known. I want to get to know them better. They might say, you know, as people ask today, where do you go to church? Well, why don't you come and go and find out with me? Nurture. Nowhere in the Bible is the training of children assigned to agencies outside the home. I don't find that anywhere in the Bible. The training of children is placed squarely upon the shoulders of mama and daddy. And when grandmama and granddaddy can assist in that, thanks be unto God for it. Folks, God looks at parents for the kind of training that children need. And that's the emphasis here, this word nurture. Bring them up. How? Well, I might teach them to golf, and I might teach them to hunt, and I might teach them to fish, and I might teach them to do this and that. And those are things well and good, but they're temporary. They're temporary. May we focus on those things that are eternal. But notice the next one there in this verse talks about discipline. And that's the word nurture. Okay, we saw bringing them up in the nurture. That's the raising them. And now the specific, the objective nature of that bringing them up. What is it? Nurture. Well, the word nurture means learning through discipline. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 12 in your Bible. Go to Hebrews 12 and notice here. Hebrews 12 uses the word, some translations, the word chastening. Well, that's the same word synonymous with discipline. Those are two synonymous words used interchangeably anywhere, everywhere. Now, I want you to read with me, starting in verse number 7 here. Now, in verse number 6, notice it says, for whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. Have you ever come under the discipline of the Lord? Sure you have. Every one of us has. Yes. Because you see, the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And what does God do when we fall short of His glory, when we sin? He disciplines us, just like a child. When they break the rules, what do? We've told them what the rules are. Then we discipline. Notice in verse number 7, if you endure discipline, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not discipline? Well, if there is, then that is a son that does not know the true meaning of love. You know, I tell you what, the first time my daddy ever said, son, this is going to hurt me more than it does you, I thought, I'm not going to say that you're telling an untruth out loud because I'll get it tougher, you know. I mean, you'll really come down. But I just don't believe it, Daddy. I do not believe this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. But then I became a daddy. And I thought, you know, oh, Dad, he knew what he was talking about. Boy, that broke my heart the first time I had to wear old Josh out. I remember, and Scotty's here today. Where's Scotty at? Scotty, you remember when I whirled Josh out? We were down at Scotty's house, and I whirled Josh out, and Josh ran. I bet he ran as fast as everything back to our house. And boy, that hurt me. Wow. But he needed it. He needed it. We must make sure that discipline of our children is in the right manner. We must discipline in love and not in anger. Discipline must be fair and consistent. That's the discipline that is under consideration here. This word nurture, learning through discipline, both illustrate God dealing with His covenant people. I want you to listen quickly to some Proverbs. Oh, these are wonderful Proverbs. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Proverbs 1, verse 8. Proverbs 12, verse 1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is unwise. That's wise right there. Proverbs 15, verse 10. Stern discipline is for him who forsakes the way. He who hates reproof will die. I like this one. Proverbs 19, verse 27. Cease listening, my son, to discipline, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. I guess this is, in my opinion, the best. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it from him. Now, once again, it must be fair, without anger, and consistent. These are the words of God, and therefore our benefit. Lastly, I want you to notice here that it must be done with instruction and encouragement. That's the last phrase. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. The word admonition has to do with instruction that is based upon encouragement. It's the kind of thing that you see back in the first three verses where it says you do this and you do it in the Lord. You teach them to obey so that the context and the sphere in which they operate is in the Lord. Do we have examples of that? Yes. Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5, Paul, he trusted Timothy because Timothy possessed the same genuine faith that was in his mother and his grandmother. And then when you come to chapter 3, Paul says, Timothy, you continue in the things which you've learned and the things of which you've been assured, knowing this. The Holy Scriptures, they are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You're talking about a perfect prescription for home. Right there it is. When the Supreme Court handed down the decision and their ruling against required prayer in public schools, when that occurred, the Washington Post carried a cartoon, the famous Herblock cartoons. And the cartoon was this. It was a man sitting with his family at the dinner table. He was holding up a newspaper, and he was just beating the air with it. And it had on the front headlines, "No More Prayer in School." And this is what the caption read. It said, "What do they expect us to do? Listen to the kids pray at home?" That satirical approach to that Supreme Court decision, to me, said volumes. What are we to do, he said? Listen to the kids pray at home? And the answer to that is yes. Yes. Because you see, folks, the only way to impart truth is to first possess truth. And if we as daddies and husbands, fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers possess the truth and impart the truth, our homes will have a greater godliness than if left to their own. I encourage you today, men, whether you're a grandfather or a father or a to-be father or one day you hope to be a father, you take the Bible as your guide. It's a lamp and a light to your way. And never stray from it. It will lead you to heaven. It's my prayer that that's what you'll do. And that is my encouragement and proposition for you today. Thank God for you, fathers. We love you and appreciate you, and we wish you only the very best. Thank God for His Word that is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our way. If you're subject to the invitation this morning to put on Christ in baptism, having exercised the living faith, repenting of sins, confessing that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, that you would do that with great urgency, and you would do that without any hesitation or reservation. What if you've strayed or you have fallen away? Come back to God through Jesus Christ today. Oh, what a great day it will be in your life if that is your need. And if you have that need, that you will exercise it together as we stand and as we sing. Would you come?